There's the school bell, and I wish you would get your Bible at this time and turn with me to Acts chapter 11. We're studying about Barnabas, one of the great men of the New Testament, and we'll be completing that study today. Barnabas is called a good man, and he would have been a good friend, a son of consolation, a son of exhortation, a son of encouragement. That's what his name means. His given name was Joseph, but he's known by his nickname Barnabas because of his character. We'll be studying this in the Warren County Radio Bible School. While you're turning to Acts chapter 11, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And these Bible studies, we are using the American Standard Version of 1901, because that was the translation of the scriptures that was used by E.A. Elam when he composed his Elam's Notes for Sunday School Lessons. And today we're going to begin with the ending of a Sunday School lesson that he wrote for August the 26th, 1923. And it's about Barnabas and how Barnabas was an example of giving. Let me read the text to you now. Acts chapter 4. It'd be Acts chapter 11, verses 27, and I'll read down through verse 30. It says, "Now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came in the days of Claudius, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." This is what we read in Elam's notes. These prophets from Jerusalem went to Antioch to encourage and help the church there. The Holy Spirit in so many words declared through Agabus that a great famine in all the world would come to pass in the days of Claudius. This shows how the Spirit bears testimony. The church at Antioch, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. This contribution was sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now note, this was turned over to the elders for distribution. The church at Antioch and the church at Jerusalem was all the organization necessary for the sending and dispersing of this fund. Having fulfilled their ministration, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, whose surname was Mark, Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. Now there's some other interesting facts about Barnabas's life, and we'll relate them before we bring this to a close. It says he was sent out with Paul on Paul's first missionary journey from the church at Antioch. He and Paul later had a contention overtaking Mark on that second journey. We read in Acts chapter 15, 36 through 40. "And after some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John, who was also called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with them him who withdrew from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they parted asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark with him, and sailed away into Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. You see, Barnabas was a relative of John Mark. We read in Colossians 4 and verse 10 that they were cousins. Barnabas attended with Paul to the council at Jerusalem when there was a dispute over whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. We read in Acts chapter 15 and verse 2, "And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in questioning with them, the brethren appointed that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." And then we read in Acts chapter 15 and verse 12, "And all the multitude kept silence, and they hearkened unto Barnabas and Paul, rehearsing what signs and wonders God had wrought with them through the Gentiles." Barnabas was one that received Paul with a right hand of fellowship from James, Peter, and John at Jerusalem. But he was later carried away, as were others, with the dissimulation of Peter in Antioch. And for this, he became subject of rebuke by his brother Paul. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, we read, "And when they perceived that grace was given unto me, James and Cephas and John, they who reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, which very thing I also was zealous to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face, because he stood condemned. For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision, and the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that even Barnabas was carried away with those their dissimulation." But the last we read about Barnabas is very complimentary. "He labored for his support while preaching the gospel, much as Paul had done. And the fellowship between Paul and Barnabas was not destroyed by their disagreement over Mark, or either by this lapse that Barnabas had had when he had come to Antioch. For afterward they and Mark worked together." And we read in Colossians chapter 9 and verse 6 that Barnabas continued carrying on the work of the Lord. Now this brings this lesson about Barnabas to a close, except at the very end of this lesson, E.A. Elam included this little rhyme: "Only a thought, but the work of it wrought, could never by pen or tongue be taught, for it ran through a life like a thread of gold, and the life bore fruit 100-fold. Now, with that, I turn the page. And as I turn the page, I come to the next Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote. This is a Sunday school lesson for September the 2nd, 1923. And since we're studying the great men and women of the Bible, and we're on the great men of the New Testament, it is of no surprise to us that we come across Paul the Apostle. And that is the title of this lesson. Let me read to you the lesson text. We'll start in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, where Paul writes, or Paul was speaking, and Luke records what Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, instructed according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, even as you all are this day. And it came to pass," this is Acts 22 and verse 6, "it came to pass that as I made my journey and drew nigh to Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light about me, and I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me beheld indeed the light, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And now let's read from Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. And in this letter to the church at Philippi, this great apostle Paul wrote, Howbeit what things were gained to me, these I counted but loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The golden text we have for this Sunday school lesson comes from that reading. It is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And it somewhat sums up what we know about Paul. Paul wrote, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. As Paul had seen that great vision of the Lord on the road to Damascus, so also hundreds of years before, the prophet Isaiah had seen a vision of the Lord, and it set him on his mission for his life. We read in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Paul must have felt much like that on that road to Damascus after he saw that vision of the Lord. And surely when it came to Damascus, and after he was told to be baptized, and he was instructed and told how that he would carry the gospel to the Gentiles and preach the gospel before kings, no doubt in his mind he had that same attitude that Isaiah had had long ago when he said, Here am I, send me. And what a lesson for us. When the Lord calls, we should answer, and be busy about his business.